don't. We come to prison and, you know, what we think of when we come to prison is a bunch of thieves and robbers and murderers and rapists and you name it, right? Drug addicts and stuff like that. But I guess, you know, I was just encouraged being there. And even just with the Word of God says that if you have been angry with a brother without a cause, it's like the sin of murder. So, first of all, it's like we don't go in there as some kind of up here and they're down here. But, you know, if you've ever been angry without a cause, in the sight of God, you're just as bad as they are. Like, we have to come to grips with the fact that in the presence of God and in His holiness, we're just in one page as all of them. If you have lusted in any sort, you're just as bad as anybody else, as one that has actually committed the act in the sight of God. Maybe not in our society and our law. We judge it differently, and these men are in there because of some choices, and they've chosen to do it. They've chosen to murder someone physically. And it was all through just, you know, meditating, and you know how it goes. When you're, what you think of, that's what you become. What you meditate on, that's what drives it, your passion. And so just to go in there and just try to, you know, recognize with them that we're just here, sinners just like you, in the sight of God. Obviously, there's a difference in our society, and it's rightly so. If you're dangerous and you're going to kill someone, it's right that the law comes and steps in. That's, God has ordained it that way. But it was certainly an honor just to see God bring life to that little congregation. And just to see the life of Christ being ministered there was so encouraging. All right. I want to also just pray for John Omers this morning. Just been distracted by weather, I guess, and yeah, the plans aren't working out quite like they thought. But I just want to take a moment and just pray that even in all this, there was one other time we went to Texas, right, Josh and Crit, and who else was it? Ended up spending a day extra, and turned out to be a blessing. So let's just lift up John Omer, Priscilla, and Kendrick to the Lord. Father, this morning there's no accidents, there's no miscommunications. The storms are all guided by you, Father, and you're in charge of the universe. You, at your word, you can speak peace to the storm. And you could have done that yesterday if that was your choice. And yet we just know, gentlemen, Priscilla, their plans were to be in McAllen this morning and being with Ellen, and that has been disrupted by the storms there in Dallas. So God, we just pray that this weekend, the time there, you order it according to your will, Father. There's divine appointments you may want to appoint. We just pray, Father, the Spirit of God to move there in that way, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness and goodness. Looked at the other few there is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, then it's gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And, you know, I don't think Paul just thought to write a good list together and sit down and somehow get some of these good attributes or character traits and just write them in a list as, you know, try to make it as long as possible or impress someone. I believe there's a purpose for every word in the Bible. And the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness is actually only mentioned one time in the Bible other than in this Galatians 5:22, or I should say in the New Testament. And that is in 2 Corinthians 10:1, Paul says, "Now I, Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." And I guess my thought is this morning, the gentleness of Christ. There was only one man on this earth that ever walked in the true gentleness. It's usefulness that is moral excellence in character or demeanor or integrity. And if you think of integrity and just the character of each one of us here this morning, do we walk in gentleness? There's a lot more in the word gentle, and we're going to look at the word gentle this morning because I think we can learn something from the word gentle. And remember, it's the fruit of the roots of your tree. If the root is good, the fruit is good. If the root of the tree is good, the fruit is good. So what is the root in our lives this morning? When we look at as the fruit coming out of our lives, is it gentle this morning? 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive or argue or quarrel, but it must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." Like, it's not natural to be gentle when people oppose you, and when someone wants to start an argument, it's not natural just to be gentle. Like, in 2 Timothy, and it says kind of the same thing, 1 Timothy 3:3-4, it says, not given to wine. It's also in context of a bishop or an elder, but this here can apply to all of us. Not given to wine, no striker or a quarreler or whatever, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient or gentle. And most translations use the word gentle there, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. It says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So there's a place where the man of the house must walk in gentleness. Not insisting. In other words, not insisting on the letter of the law. It must be gentle. It expresses a considerateness that looks humanely and reasonably at the facts of a case. In other words, what are we quarreling about? Or what's the issue, right? What are we looking at? Are we gentle when we have a discussion, or when there's something that needs to be reproved or, let's say, talked about in the home? How do we look at it? Are we gentle, or is it just striking back and forth and brawling and coveting on authority or whatever it might be? It's rendered gentle or patient. In other words, it's in contrast. It says not given to wine, no striker, not guilty, greedy, but patient. Or it could just continue on with the not and say not contentious. But it's saying he's patient and he's gentle. In Thessalonians 2:7, it says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." In other words, Paul was using it in the context of himself and his fellow missionaries. And when you think about it, mild or gentle was frequently used by Greek writers as characterizing a nurse with trying children, or a teacher with refractory scholars, or just disobedient and bully, or of parents toward their children. In other words, Paul is saying he was gentle among them. And when I think of that, I've been in different old people's homes or maybe a special needs facility like here, and obviously as well with family. But when you think of some of, you know, old people who have Alzheimer's or whatever, and they don't really know what they're doing, and they're just about half grumpy and loud, and they just don't want to obey. And yet the nurses, they just kindly and gently, you know, they put them on their chair and push them back to their room and make them eat their food. And they're just gentle. And he uses that here, as a nurse cherisheth her children, or those she's taking care of, or even like a special needs, who's just, maybe some are just more loud and rambunctious, and yet their nurses are trained and taught to be gentle and just continue in that. And how are we, I guess, is when we meet with someone or something who's just continuously just wants to be disobedient or about half be a bully or whatever. And we're, how do we continue, or how do we communicate? Can we communicate gently? Just like a nurse who cherisheth her children. In James 3:13-18, says, "Who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. But it says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." Think about it. If you're praying for wisdom in a situation, and I've dealt with this in my life already, there's just a situation, and you're praying for wisdom, and yet just out of you, there's just like frustration and kind of desperation, and you want to just kind of take over. But it says if there's wisdom from above, it's not that way. If we're receiving wisdom from above, that wisdom is peaceable. First, it's pure. Then peaceable and gentle. And I believe when we receive wisdom from God in a situation, I believe it just creates a gentleness. It's not natural. It's because of the Spirit of God bringing that to us. Okay, this is how I want you to do. A soft answer turneth away wrath. It's not when we lash out. And when Jesus lashed out, you could say, he didn't lash out in the way we think of lashing out. But when he took authority in the temple, was he gentle? I mean, not really. But yet he was, his passion, the zeal of God. I feel it was different because of the hypocrisy that was being brought into that temple and what was happening there. He was in with authority, and yet he was pure in it. And it brought order to that place. 1 Peter 2:18-20. "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle." So, you know, it's easy to be subject to a master who is good and gentle. But Peter's saying not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, or those who are a little harder to get along with. It says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully." It is thankworthy if a man, for his conscience toward God. If we suffer wrong just because of our conscience, maybe towards each other or whatever, I don't know exactly. But it says, if you endure grief because of what you believe that God has you to walk in, and you suffer wrongfully, it is glory to God. It's thankworthy. God is honored. God is glorified. If when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Even when people are using you, in a sense, wrong, and they have mistreated you in a way that is wrong, and you take it patiently, it's acceptable with God. And God is pleased by that. We have the martyr's mirror. It's just full of people. Men who have given their lives for the gospel's sake. Men who have suffered wrongfully. Then he also uses the word goodness, gentleness and goodness. And it's kind of the same, but when a man is gentle and he walks in the goodness of God, goodness is the moral qualities which constitute Christian excellence or moral virtues. When you walk with a good name or in you have good integrity. But the only place, when I look at the word goodness, and we find that the word goodness every time, it talks about God, like his goodness. It's the goodness of God, Romans 2:4. It's the goodness of God. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing it's the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. When you experience God's goodness in your life, God, what am I that you would shower your blessings on me? What am I to experience your goodness this morning? Who am I this morning that I should experience your goodness to us? Romans 11:22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, other words, thou also shalt be cut off. Are we walking in the goodness of God this morning? Is the goodness of God part of that fruit that people are eating from your life, so to speak, or picking from your life? Do you walk in a goodness, in God's goodness? And I myself, Romans 15:14, also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Like, filled with all goodness. Is your life is the fruit of the Spirit of goodness coming from your life? 2 Thessalonians 1:11, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a prayer. That's a prayer that we can pray. God, that you would count us worthy of this calling, the calling of being his son and his daughters, and we would fulfill all the good pleasures of your goodness and the work of faith with power. Like, is God, the goodness of God, do we recognize the goodness of God and the work of faith with power? So that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified in us. And ye in him. It's two ways here. We're glorified. Christ is glorified in me, but I am glorified in him when I walk with power, the faith of his power. He is pleased in that. Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 21. I'm going to read this. And we just want to look at this a little bit here. Let's start in Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, or just joking around, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Like these, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How often, rather, in the unfruitful works of darkness, are we tempted to just give in? But it says, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Is the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. And just think about what is coming from your life. And then the Bible says a lot about good. If the tree is good, then the fruit is good. And it talks about the good fish and the bad fish. It talks about the good seed and the seed that isn't as good. But here, another thing is being pleasing to God. It's beneficial. Christians are to prove it. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or test or and walk out what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What is God's good will for you? What is the perfect, acceptable, and perfect will of God? We're to prove it, and we're also to cleave to it. Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. We're to do good. Romans 13:3 says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. When we walked into those prison doors, we had a really good officer at the front desk, and she was there every time, which was a blessing. And Stephen even got in without his driver's license the one morning, which is super unusual. But it was the same lady that was there Fridays, so Saturday morning, he got there, and she didn't like it, but she left him in. And that was favor from her specifically. I'm sure she went against the law there, but she knew. And it's just like when we have a good testimony, and I look at this as the light of hope. It's a testimony for light of hope. If we would go down there, and they've had to deal with this over the years, people have attitudes. And it's been already, people would preach against certain religions or, you know, really hammer on the sin. That is not what the prisoners want to hear. And the officers. And, I mean, there's a testimony. And it's the testimony for light of hope. The faithfulness and the obedience over the last 25 or 30 years that probably allowed this to happen. If it was just someone else, it probably wouldn't happen. But there's been a good report over the years. And so we're to do good. And with that, we gain favor with those that are in authority. We're to work it. It says, but glory, honor, and peace in Romans 2:10. to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. When you walk in God's goodness, there's honor, there's glory, and there's peace. When we walk in that, because God has ordained it that way. When we government authorities are ministers of good, they're there to keep order. And it's good that they are. But I think they can see, even when they visit with you or when they come into your house or you meet them, or say you get pulled over on the road. I mean, they can sense right away what your motivation or where you're at. I think they learn. They can pretty easily see what they're dealing with. So I believe as we go throughout our life, let's walk in the gentleness and the goodness of God and allow the fruit of the Spirit of God to come out of us in this way. And it will have praise of those in authority and those we meet. And the employers or whatever it might be. And I'm going to just close with that. I do want to mention that next Sunday morning, the Light of Hope will be here to share on Sunday morning. Their family is going to be sharing. And then Amos Stolzfus will be preaching the message for us next Sunday. So, I'm really looking forward to that, and just to have them come and share and maybe give some insight even just to the ministry and God's faithfulness over the years. And but just being at the orientation and hearing Amos's story of how Light of Hope began, and then this was actually the first time, which I was really surprised. This was the first time that Nelson Koblenz preached at a rally. And that surprised me because it was in their office down in South Carolina where Amos Stolzfus, God dealt with him and bringing him just to, I guess you'd say, surrender. And through that, Light of Hope was born. But it was actually Nelson's first time to preach at the rally. But it was just very good to see God's faithfulness over the years. So we look forward to having them here next Sunday. All right, God bless you.